There's been one question that was discussed in our board meetings, and that was the question of an open or closed meeting. It is my understanding and my recollection, and I'm asking you if you concur, that the board, without objection, agreed to hold this meeting in open session. And if there is someone who feels that is not the case, I would like them to speak now, or we will proceed with a couple of other quick housekeeping matters. So no one disputes the question of whether or not we agreed to hold this in open session. You did not agree to holding this in open session.
I think that we'd be safer if we bring a motion and we vote right now. It's clearly nobody can dispute it.
I think we, by doing what I just said, we are essentially, and Deb will, I hope, put it in the record, that we just agreed that no one is disputing it. And that will expedite the business since we're already a little bit late. Oh, and we have a trial next Friday night here as well, and my understanding is that that is the case for next Friday as well. Is there anybody disputing that? Great, then we have resolved that question. Deb, I'm assuming that you will need as much of a record of this evening as you possibly can, and if there's any disputes, you and other people can keep a record of what is being said tonight. If we have to go back at the end of the evening, I'm going to request that we allow anybody who has, if there's a dispute over something, we'll have the ability to check your record as well as anyone else so we know that we are all on the same page with what is said tonight. Okay? I don't think there's any other housekeeping issues that we need to
attendance.
Deal with.
Attendance. I'd like to call a roll.
Okay. We'll do that. Thank you, Deb. I announced on Wednesday night that Reader Washington was provisionally a member of the body. Jaime Rodriguez obviously was absent, so even if there was a dispute over a previous absence of his, he was once again absent Wednesday night. So by that, he had missed three meetings in a row without excused absences. So the provisional status of Reader Washington is no longer provisional. Welcome to the board. Adriana, roll call. Adriana Cassonet.
Point of information. I was curious to know who took Lars Headington's place on the board?
Joseph Davis.
And whose place did Dwayne Locke take?
Susan Radman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Adriana Cassonet.
Jason.
Joe Crozier.
Here.
Elaine Duncan.
Here.
Nick Economides. Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
Alexandra Hunter. Jim Kravka. Adrian LaViolette. Violette. Jerry Lynch.
Here.
Robert Mark.
Here.
P.K. McCary.
Present.
Susie Moreno.
Present.
Dwayne Mark.
Present.
Rita Washington.
Present.
Stacy Sinclair. Deb Shafto.
Here.
Benicia Williams. Ed Weisgall, present. Rhonda Garner.
Present.
Robert Gartner.
Here.
Wally James.
Here.
Joseph Davis.
Present.
Cliff Smith.
Here.
Mike Lewis. Okay.
Mike Lewis isn't able to attend because he's got a show tonight.
Okay, Stacy Sinclair, I'm turning over this meeting to you.
Okay. Yeah. So I made an agenda for everyone. Obviously, my times are very ambitious and we're already not meeting, but we can speak to the time limits from here forward, hopefully. I just wanted to start by going over some things to prepare us to be successful tonight. My role tonight is the judge slash chair of the meeting, so I'm here to make sure the meeting runs smoothly and fairly and follows Robert's rules of order. Part of that means that during the trial, if there are objections, they come to me and I can make the decision or I can put them to a vote. They can be appealed if George or Pepe disagree with my decision. Your role as a board member is to listen to the information, process it, and make a decision by the end of the night. Your role mostly during these hours is going to be to sit and listen. It's hard for a lot of us. But if you have questions or if you have motions, I provide post-its and writing utensils so that you can write them and pass them my way, and I will present your question or consider your motion. If it's out of order, I won't bring it to the table. You can appeal my ruling. If it's in order, I'll bring it to an immediate vote, or a second and immediate vote. The audience...
Can we ask the members please go to outside?
That's one of my points in my
thank you.
Just a moment. The audience members, your role is just to observe. You're here to observe, and we appreciate you being here to do that. This is an important role. For us, in order to make a good decision by the end of the night, I'm going to ask that we stay as focused as possible, that we avoid side talk, we avoid distractions. I'm not going to repeat motions or catch people up if you miss what's happened. We're just going to vote. So if you didn't hear what the motion is, I urge you to abstain. And I urge you to hear what the motion is.
Is there a motion now? A motion on?
No.
Oh. Is this an LSP? I'm sorry. It's a fraud.
I know, but so are you guys are voting on something tonight?
The agenda's up there. I'm going to...
Do you bring it back to the board meeting, or is this...
This is a board meeting.
Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not... Okay. I also am asking for some patience with me. I'm going to try to be fair, and sometimes that's going to mean I need to take a moment and take some time. So if something comes up and I'm taking a moment, I'm not trying to manipulate the situation. I'm really trying to think about it and be fair. So I appreciate your patience with me. Let's get started. So I'm following my script here. I provided a chapter of the trial rules from Robert's Rules of Order on each table. I'm sorry I didn't make it look happy for everyone, but I was at home. So hopefully you can share Robert's Rules of Order on the paper. So the agenda, if you look at it, if we go over it really quickly, this is how the trial is going to go. We are going to read the charges, and Bill will have a chance to plead for each charge and each specification. Then we'll have opening statements from the prosecution and defense. The trial will consist of prosecution witnesses, defense witnesses, rebuttal witnesses for the prosecution, and rebuttal witnesses for the defense. Each witness will have 10 minutes. George and PK have agreed that they'll be questioned for 5, they'll be redirected for 5, and then if we need to add on cross-examination, we can after that. There will be closing arguments, the deliberation and possible sentencing. I have a question for the body about this. Robert's Rules asks that the accused leave the room, and I'm not sure how that works in a public meeting. If all the public needs to leave the room for the deliberation, is anyone who has a better grasp on that? There's nothing in Robert's Rules about it, so perhaps we can vote at that point.
Madam Chair, based on the record, based on the previous trial, and based on the precedent, the person had been I said the accused has been in the room in previous examples in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years of that trial. So a precedent has been set.
And Robert's Rule says that we can override any of this with a 2/3 vote. So perhaps we can just vote now if the public and Bill will see the deliberation or a vote. So I'll have a yes, they can stay. No, they can leave quickly. Yes, they can stay during deliberation.
On the record, for the record, for the public as well as for the members, we do have about over 125 years of service and experience serving on local and national boards. So I appreciate you leaning toward that knowledge and that body of information. And to this moment, since no one has disagreed with what I said, I'd also like to put in the record that it is customary to have an open trial, not of an employee. And in this instance, the accused is an employee of the corporation.
We've already decided that. So we're
but there were some folks who don't understand that we are acting as a local station board body, which is a committee of the foundation, hearing issues regarding the local station member doing things in capacity as a local station board member as well as his higher capacity.
I'm going to bring us to this vote on the deliberation process, whether we want the public to stay with Mr. Crozier or we want everyone to leave. Who? Yes.
I want to move out
I'd rather it all be public, but I'll be glad to go along with what the majority wants to do.
Okay. Who would like the entire trial to be public? That is more than 2/3. Great. You made a decision.
13 is
and then that would be deliberation and possible sentencing during the guilty verdict. The delivery of results will be after that. Obviously, they don't need to be called back in if they're staying, and then we'll adjourn. The only motions that can happen during the trial are the 5 privilege motions. That's orders of the day, a question of privilege, a request for a break, adjournment, or fixing adjournment, or something that relates to the trial. Again, they need to be written down in text. I think we can begin with the reading of the charges.
Okay.
So for this, let me clarify. Deb's going to read each charge or specification, and then for each one, Bill, I'd like you to make your plea.
The charges: conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation on the radio station, KPFD. You want me to read them all, or you want him to answer?
Point of information. I thought the four below that was what that first... The charge is referring to all four below that, but there's no specific conduct that addresses the last best. It's not a separate charge, is it? This first one is not a separate charge. It's just
there's one charge and there are four specifications.
That doesn't work, but okay, fine.
Okay, so the second specification A. Conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation or the foundation or the radio station KPFT.
What is your plea?
Oh, not guilty, of course.
Specific Specification A. On 7/14/2017, Mr. Crozier fired IGM Dr. Obadike Kamau in a manner that is inconsistent with Pacifica bylaws and Dr. Kamau's employment agreements, straining ties between KPFT, Pacifica, and the Houston community that supports them.
Not guilty.
Also, we would like some specifics as to what bylaws are we talking about and what section of Dr. Kamau's employment agreement are we talking about that was violated. There's no way we can fairly address these without knowing what we're talking about. So
that
I would.
In this trial.
What's that?
That will happen in your opening statement.
Well, in order for us to prepare for this, we should have been given the information. And in fact, Robert's Rules requires that we have specific instances, not general things like that. The six.
Can you cite that from Robert's Rules?
I don't have it with me, but if you
it's
look
on
at
the table.
Yes, so on page, for instance, charge conduct tending to
where
injure the this is on page. Just a moment. This is on page 5. Charge. Sorry, it's page 660. It's after charge conduct tending to injure the good name of this organization. Now that's the same sort of thing that we have up here. Conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the foundation. There has to be a specification. In that Mr. N was so conducted himself as established among the numerous acquaintances a reputation for willfully originating false reports against innocent persons. In or about the evening of August 12th, 20th, in the Matterhorn restaurant, Mr. N was seen by patients.
I'm going to interrupt you. The specification number one, I'm ruling is the same level of specificity as any
I agree with you. Specification number two is not.
So specification one is also acceptable according to Robert's Rules, so I'm going to rule that these specifications are also acceptable.
All right. Well, then let's talk about specification D. We'll read them out. We'll get to that.
So we've gone through A.
Okay. Specification B. By firing IGM Dr. Kamau, Mr. Crozier derailed an estimated $1 million in revenue.
Not guilty.
Specification C. Mr. Crozier misappropriated funds by extending the employment of former GM Dwayne Bradley.
Not guilty.
Specification D. Mr. Crozier left KPFT and the foundation vulnerable to litigation through firings that did not conform to process, lying to government agencies, and bribery.
So, in this one, we have requested in the past, we got these actually 2 days ago, the original charges which are at the that you passed, there were six or seven of them, were so vague. We asked for specifications, and PK and I worked out the charges that are here. I insisted that this one, where we're being charged with bribery and lying to a government agency, that there be some particular put in that. For instance, who's being bribed? What for? How can you possibly, we could have had witnesses here, for instance, for a case like that. It's just not fair to ask us to address this without having had advance notice and having some specification of what are we talking about?
Going back to the specification that you just cited on page 660, it says, this is an example, Mr. N has so conducted himself as to establish among a number of his acquaintances a reputation for willfully originating false reports against innocent persons. This is equally as vague as specification D. It doesn't say...
Well, let me just then ask you, in the interest of fairness, and we'll leave Robert's Rules apart. Do you seriously think you can fairly respond to a charge like this of bribery, for instance, with not knowing in advance who is being bribed and what were they bribed for? I just ask you that as a board to vote on that just in the interest of fairness.
traditionally, the proceedings of an investigative committee are equal to a grand jury because they're kept secret. The defense is able, by indirection, to obtain the substance of the testimony, which is what was provided. That does not mean that the whole transcript will be turned over to you, but you get more specifics than that. But my biggest problem is that an individual or individuals can explain to you who testified and what they testified to. Because Elaine said that she talked to you about it and those things that she was concerned about, and she believes you. So I don't believe that you don't know.
But this wasn't on our list.
Yes.
I would think that not a robbery. She called on me.
We discussed this.
She's still gone.
And the investigation, if anything, is about protecting those who felt they might have been retaliated against, and by the fact that to get the answers that we needed to let people know that they were safe. I told you it was a safety zone.
Can they give details on it?
There will be testimony to that effect.
Again, what PK thinks we know is really irrelevant to this conversation.
I agree with
thank
that.
You.
But I do still believe that specification 1 on page 60 is equally as vague as specification.
Well, I would like to have a vote on this. In the interest of fairness, do you seriously think we can defend against charges of bribery without being given in advance some idea, who was bribed and what for? So we might have a chance to bring witnesses to counteract whatever testimony is there.
So you're appealing the rule of the chair.
I'm appealing the ruling of the chair. In the interest of fairness, are you all willing to strike this charge?
Can I ask a point of information to a parliamentarian helper? Is he allowed to appeal the rule of the chair? Does a member have to, or can he do that by
testimony? I can't hear you.
So someone on the LSB has to appeal my rule. Is that right?
I would suggest that he is acting as the agent for Bill Crozier for the purposes of this trial, and thus Bill protests what he's doing, that he ought to be allowed, and we ought to get so caught up in formality that we're going to have Bill do it when he would ordinarily anyhow.
So then what vote do we need in order to
Madam
pass
Chair.
This appeal?
A majority.
A majority.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm going to have to disagree with the information you're leaning on. There is no substitute or transfer of membership. There is a right of representation. It is, if you take this president now, at every point, his representative can ask for an appeal for the vote. We shouldn't get into that game.
Casey, I never got to speak. I wanted to ask a question. So what I want to know is, when it's all said and done, are we going to know what the bribe is and who was bribed?
That's the point of the trial.
Okay.
And if you don't, then you have the right to vote not guilty.
Okay. But we will be given that information.
Am I missing something here? I don't see the word bribe in this charge.
Well, it's there, I saw it.
In the charge.
The last and
last last word.
Madam Chair, we spent 5 minutes.
Yep, I've made a ruling. Specification D is
you're appealing.
May I address this?
Yes.
I mean, I'll appeal it if I'm not sure anybody else is. But,
okay.
You know, could I just clarify? You know, when this motion came up, when PK's motion came up before the LSB a couple of months ago.
Can we just appeal it and vote?
No, I'm going to explain just real briefly, though. I'll be brief. You know, I said, that's fine. I want to have the trial because I want to clear my name. And I was promised that I would get a report with all the details, and we still haven't gotten it.
Is
so.
There a second for the appeal?
A second.
All those in favor of appealing specification D?
No. The question is, we are
supporting it. The perpetual, we are supporting the chair.
Okay. All those in favor of supporting the chair, which I am saying specification D stands. All those in favor of supporting the chair.
Cherish.
11. All those opposed?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It passes.
Ma'am, I would like to recount, please.
All those who
seat.
All those who support the chair. 8, 9, 10, 11. All those who don't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Specification D stands. We need a plea. Bill, we need a plea for specification D.
Not guilty. Sorry.
Shall we refuse to respond to anything about this?
It's just
I'm hoping that everyone realizes that tonight is not about me versus Bill Crozier. Rather, this is about giving voice to issues of questionable actions we believe he has done, and for allowing individuals who have felt that they didn't have a chance to have a voice to have a voice. This is for the members. And we as a board have a fiscal, a fiduciary responsibility to follow up on things that are possible or follow up on checks and balances. We should be about ethics and integrity. We should be about fairness, diversity, and truth and justice, and those things are what we are fighting for tonight.
I have 5 minutes now.
Yes, when you start, I'll start.
So I think we need a little history to understand why we're sitting here at this moment. I've been on the board, the PNB. I've been on the PNB for...
Louder.
I'm sorry, yep. What's going on?
Stand and be a little louder, they can't hear you.
We cannot hear you.
I've stopped your time, George.
Sorry, but... So I've been on the PNB for about 8 years. Been off for about a year and a half, 2 years. In all that time, the PNB has been a factionated board, with majority having one or two votes in majority. It went back and forth several times. The minority in essentially all cases, in both cases, and the factions were basically related to political distinctions in the different and so the faction the underlying theme of the factions was pretty much the same. They just traded places, and the minority faction would basically try to block anything the majority faction did. Bill was actually an exception to that. I was the president, the chair of that board. When Bill was a member, and Bill was not playing that game. In June and July of 2016, Bill organized two PNB meetings. There's a provision in the PNB that if you have three members, you can call a meeting who agreed to it to discuss specifically finance issues. that meeting was boycotted by the majority faction, so that there was no quorum reached. There were 11 members, you needed 13. The CFO supported the meeting, thought it was necessary to have these meetings in order to deal with the financial situation which you're finding out about now, but has been in the cooking for a long time. The three members of the majority faction who were from this board are Adriana Kasanave, Venetia Patel, and Wesley Bethune. The way we elect our members leads it to be usually 1-3 as far as the factions. And we now have the faction fight going on here in this organization. The majority at that time lost the majority. And Bill, having been standing up for financial integrity, was asked to be IED to deal with those issues, which he accepted at no salary whatsoever. In the interim, which was February of this year, he has seen to it that the 2015 audit actually was completed, which required that three quarters of $1 million of wrong entries throughout the network were corrected, which was overseen while he was in there. He fired a general manager in KPFK. She had been put in by Margie Wilkinson, who was part of that majority faction. On the same day that John Prophet was coming to take over the ED's position, she was at that time the chair of the PND. At KPFK, for instance, the level of supervision had gotten to the point where the license to use the tower, which happened to be at the top of Mount Wilson in a park, had expired and nobody noticed. So Bill has been the pushing for financial integrity and for responsibility all along. And his role here is exactly the same thing. What's happened here is that this station had a disastrous fund drive. It didn't have enough money at the end of July to pay the August bills. And we'll present you with evidence about that. This was a fund drive which was disastrous in part because the people managing it didn't seem to care about it. The usual things that are done, like, for instance, seeing to it you got a lot of people listening on the phones, didn't happen. And so the interim IGM, Obadike, was replaced out of financial necessity. Now, you may not think it was financial necessity, but what you have to show here is really that Bill was somehow acting in the interest adverse to the foundation by doing what he thought his job was. The fact that the station now has a successful fund drive, which raised $250,000, would tend to indicate that it was not really against the interest of the foundation that his actions took place.
Point of information, we raised $253,000.
You're out of order.
Oh, sir. Good.
I would just like to say that the things that we weren't going to testify to today that were brought up now be part of the issues here. We're still talking checks and balances, and some of what you have said seems to give rise to untruthfulness as it relates to the actions and the issues that we will talk about tonight. So I really want to say thank you.
We are moving on to the trial. Each witness will have 10 minutes max, 5 minutes for questions, and 5 minutes of redirect, and then if there needs to be a cross-examination, there'll be full time given to both sides. We're asking the witnesses.
Well, I guess we need to vote on it.
Mandatory question.
Mm-hmm.
question is the evidence going to be presented issue by issue by issue, or are the witnesses just going to testify and we're supposed to figure it out in our own heads where that relates to the charges?
It's up to Georgia and PK to design their cases, so I haven't been a part of that. So I think we'll have to kind of parse the evidence ourselves. They will have closing arguments, which I hope they'll help us make a decision by clearing it up. The prosecution witnesses will go first, then the defense witnesses, and then we'll have rebuttal witnesses from both sides. So, prosecution, would you like to call your first witness?
I'd like to call Dr.
We have a chair. I'll start the 5 minutes and hear some questions and ask.
Really loud. The traffic on the street is very loud. Thank you.
It's just PK and George that will be asking questions of Dr. Kamau, not us, right?
Yes. Okay. There are post-its and writing utensils on the table. If you'd like to pass a question to me, I will ask it.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Kamau, the first question that I have for you is, when did you come to work as the interim general manager? What circumstances did you become our general manager?
On full time.
Did everybody hear that?
No, you need to speak louder.
When did you come to work as the interim general manager, and under what circumstances were you hired?
I was initially hired on a part-time basis in January, and I was there to learn from Wayne Bradley. In the middle of April, I became the interim general manager on a full-time basis, and Wayne Bradley was kept on purportedly to help develop.
And what was your understanding about Dwayne's continuation? When did you find out about his continuation? And what was his role?
I was asked if I had issues with Dwayne staying on to receive benefits for a short period of time, and I agreed that he could stay on and get benefits. Those benefits were supposed to be extended only to Dwayne. After a short period of time, I guess 2 days to a week or so, I found out that Dwayne was going to maintain benefits, that his wife was going to receive benefits, and that he was going to be paid $30+ an hour at 24 hours a week. Which was not the original agreement.
And is this the did you ever see the contract that was signed by Bill?
I did in fact see that contract.
And did Bill give you that contract to see after?
No, I received the contract from Ms. Van Zandt, or Dr. Van Zandt.
Point of information.
Point of order, is that Markeisha Van Zandt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The contract with who? It wasn't specified.
You'll have cross-examination.
Please.
It wasn't said. It was a contract.
Yes.
And the name of the person with the contract was not said.
You can ask that in your time. I've paused in case time. I'm going to resume it now.
Oh, and Mr. Bradley was supposed to help with bringing in large stuff.
Okay. I reserve the right to call.
What time?
You have 2 minutes and 30 seconds left for this.
George, you have a question?
I'm sorry, that was at the end? Yeah. Is it standard for employees to have benefits for their families as well?
It is. Certainly can be standard, but that wasn't the point of
point. I'm kind of hesitant, and I can't go into detail, but let us just say that I was told that his wife would be seeing benefits another way without going into the detail of talking all of this.
Everyone, please remember to speak up as much as possible.
And did you support his being essentially development, helping with development and trying to bring in large donors?
If he would have been able to or would have been active in helping with development, I certainly would have supported it, but he did not, to my knowledge, do anything toward development, even though that's what he was supposed to work in. He did not work directly with me. He worked with Greg Ardell, who was our part-time and interim development person. And I would imagine that Greg will testify. But let me just say there were quite a few complaints about Dwayne's disengagement.
Complaints by who? About what?
Greg, in particular, who is who he was supposed to be working with, and several board members who became aware of the arrangement, had issues with it happening, and certainly had issues with his non-performance.
So the non-performance was he didn't do the job, he didn't actually go out to recruit any donors, or he wasn't successful in recruiting any donors?
From what I understand, he did not approach any potential donors.
Okay.
I have two questions for Bobby. George, you have 2 minutes and 59 seconds left. The first is January 3rd, you started part-time, supposed to start full-time March 3rd, but didn't start until April 15th. Why?
Was pushed back because there was a coup in the Pacific and Dwayne was allowed to stay on longer than had originally been stated.
The other question I have here is, do you believe racism played a part in your dismissal?
I do believe that. I mean, racism played a part in it. I think there were several factors, but I think racism was one. The offer letter that Bill extended to me agreed that we would go into arbitration, and he never did. If we had any issues, any unforeseen issues, I don't exactly remember the wording, but it was stated in the case, you know, in the unusual situation that KPFC and I had issues. We would enter into an arbitration, and he you know, did not honor that, and he wrote the letter.
You're not recognized in this body right now.
Well, no,
I have a post-it here that doesn't have a question. I don't know if you're aware. Are you aware the foundation prohibits?
I became aware of it later, and theoretically, Dwayne should probably have been called a contractor, but he was not.
The last question I have here is, have you ever said that your discharge was not the result of overt racism?
Have I ever said that it was not? Hearing that led up to this trial, I was asked that question directly, and I said yes, that racism played a role in it. I don't know about, I didn't focus on racism because racism is so inherently a part of how the American culture, and many times unless you are a recipient of it. You may not recognize it. So it's not anything that I focus on. But when I was asked, I stated the regular play the role in it. That is certainly arguable. One of the things that happened before I even came on full-time, when Mr. Bradley was still there as a full-time GM, was there was a strong push to fire one employee in particular, and another one was kind of questioned. And there was an effort to get me to fire that employee and to do it at a specific time. I chose not to because I wanted the opportunity to get a chance to observe that employee. But also, I was part-time. Dwayne was still the full-time GM at that point in time, and I don't see why he didn't fire that employee. And both he and Mr. Crozier called me into the office and asked me to fire that employee. And this firing of this employee always remained an issue during the time that I was there.
I'm going to read this question, and then I'm going to provide the two counsel with the rest of their time. Did you question whether it was legal to extend benefits to 24-hour per week part-time employees?
I was told that 24 hours was the minimum amount of time a person has to work.
It is specific.
One of the things that was said at the opening statement was that our financial situation was such that part of your release had to do with the fact that any day now we were going to go belly up. Could you explain a little bit about what the decisions were as it related to both the fund drive and how much time you had to do other until there was a problem? 45 days.
First of all, I was in constant contact with my business manager. So I was aware that we were not imminently in danger of not using the payroll or anything like that. Second, in many cases, it would seem as if the fund drive perhaps was sabotaged. I was really pushed into doing the fund drive at that time. I had never done one before. Fund drives usually last, and I could take out the calendar, longer than the doing fund drive that I was responsible did last because it ran up on July 4th. And when we had been planning the fund drive, we had planned on starting it after July 4th. Someone was getting different information, and there was a strong push to have that fund drive in June. So the fund drive did not last as long as we normally did because we did not go over the July 4th holiday. Also, there were, kind of a head-butting, ultimately about ways to raise money. And I was into doing fund drives, but fund drives is a dying model, and the demographic that the fund drive largely relies on is an elderly model. So I was concerned about finding additional ways to raise money and finding ways to replace the funds that were normally received through fund drive.
Did you have additional ways of raising money?
Yes.
And what were they?
The most impactful way to raise money was underwriting. And at the month of June, we had raised underwriting up to we made $12,000 that month. We also were in the process of putting together monthly fundraising events. We also were in the process of doing something.
Did we want this filmed? I'm sorry. I don't want to be filmed.
I don't either.
It's an open meeting.
I don't believe you can object. It's an open forum. Okay. So one of the things that we were really interested in doing, we were working on the website to make it more modern, making it more user friendly, and also using the digital platform to go after the younger and a more diverse group of people. So we were in the process of beginning what's called a digital marketing campaign. We approached digital marketing through two where we weren't able to put it into effect. But we wanted to first approach digital marketing as a way to bring in more underwriters, because that should be a larger number of the funds. And then we were going to approach digital marketing to bring in additional members. And we also wanted to actively take the programming out across a larger digital area. So those were three major reasons. There were, we were in the process of beginning a branding campaign, and we also were in the process of bringing in additional communities into KPFT with the show name Voices. So we were working to establish our footprint across the make our footprint across a larger audience. So those were some of the things that we were working on. The fastest growing one was the underwriting, which kind of went up a couple of thousand a month in June and shot up to 12,000. We were hiring sales associates to do the underwriting. We also had a goal of bringing, taking underwriting up to $25,000 a month, which would eliminate or certainly equal one of the best fund drives, because that would be $300,000. So we, those were some of the things that we were doing. So we were reaching out to additional funders, to additional listeners, and to a more diverse and larger group.
Tobin Deacon, what did you do to apply for arbitration?
What
did you do to initiate the arbitration process?
I spoke with Bill directly, and I know that several people asked him about the arbitration. And he basically told me he couldn't talk to me unless the KPFT Foundation attorney was present. And the other people who spoke to him about arbitration, I don't know if he answered them, but the fact that we didn't do arbitration basically showed that it was on him. I made it very public.
Did you write a letter to him requesting arbitration, or did you send a letter to any Pacifica?
My attorney wrote a letter to him.
To him?
Requesting that the arbitration be
yeah. When was that?
I don't know, sir.
I don't think so.
Okay. The long-term plans that you were making, most of which I certainly support and have in the past, for increasing underwriting and for doing more special events and all of that.
May I say something? Underwriting was an ongoing issue, and there were attempts to curb and stop our underwriting.
Let's get to that in a minute about the attempts to stop the underwriting. What were you doing to bridge the gap between finances that were money that was needed in today and money which might be coming in later on from the sort of projects that you're talking about?
As I said at the beginning of my testimony, I didn't have an issue with doing fund drives. Had I done the fund drives differently, we would have started after the four, and we would have allowed ourselves more time.
Who was in charge of the fund drive?
Let me just say that I used a lot of Mr. Crozier's suggestions in the fund drive. I took his suggestions as far as reaching out to interim general manager at KPFK, but I guess I was in charge of it. But because I had never done it before, I, in fact, listened to people who supposedly had experience. And I made a couple of bad calls for that. I should not have done it at the time that I did it, and I certainly should not have bought the product.
Did he speak to you and recommend that you speak with the general managers at BAI, where the interim general manager had a very successful fundraising program?
I spoke to them, and that was ultimately why I went along with those products. They did not work in Houston.
To what extent did they not work, and how much of a fraction of the fund drive do you think was lost because of them?
Well, the only thing I can tell you, I don't know if I can give you a fraction, but I can tell you that I received calls from our listeners who had, and we received these calls throughout the short period of that fund drive, and they said that it sounded like the Home Shopping Network. It may have worked in New York, it may have worked in L.A., but this was not the market for those products.
Okay. You said, what's that?
Your time is up. I have questions here. I need to clarify with the body that the questions are not to provide testimony, and OADK is not on trial. And so there are some of these questions that I am really out of order because they don't address the charge or the specifications given.
What about information?
I'm going to read these, and then I'll take any points of information. The first question we had is, do you feel they asked you to fire employees due to your race or the employee's race?
I really reached the conclusion that they wanted the black guy to fire the black guy. As I said, when this first came up, Mr. Bradley was still the full-time general manager, and therefore, he had been one to have the opportunity to assess this individual's performance and why he wouldn't fire him and why they wanted me to fire him was never stated to me.
The next one is, do you feel you were prepared for the drive?
I thought I was. I didn't have as much help with the drive as I thought I should have, but basically what I would have said was that just like taking the training wheels off a bicycle, and that's kind of what happened to me during the drive.
The last one I'm going to ask is, when was Mr. Summerall seated, and has his tenure been equivalent to Dr.
Can you explain what you mean? Let me just say this. Mr. Summerall...
You can say you don't.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. When we talk about racism and my feeling about racism, I can say that of all the general managers in the foundation, I was the only one who was asked to provide a written plan. I know that Mr. Summerall, from what I understand, took the plan that we put together. Mr. Summerall is not required to attend board meeting. He is not required to provide the general manager's report, so no, it's not important. He has much fewer restrictions than I do.
Yes.
I'm going to read the two things I'm ruling out. The first one is, did you agree, you don't have to answer these immediately unless someone appeals my ruling. The first one is, did you agree to fire Chris Whaley prior to your accepting the position? I'm ruling that out of order because it doesn't seem to apply to any of the specifications or charges given. The next one says, you say that you didn't start until 4:15 because Dwayne Bradley remained on. It's asking to recall a conversation. I'm hesitant to read the whole thing because it's testimony here. Should I just read the whole thing?
No, read it.
So I'm ruling it out of order because it's giving a lot of information and not asking a direct question of the this witness is closed.
Okay, I had my point of information.
Okay,
the question that I posed about Christopher Whaley that you're not wanting to allow.
I ruled it out of order. If you'd like to appeal the chair, you can.
I appeal the chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those who support the chair's ruling that this question is out of order, please raise your hands. 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those who think we should ask this post-it question, raise your hand.
What's the question?
The question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're not going to ask it.